Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday. Nick Caserio was on with Chris Sims on Chris Sims' podcast, it looks like. Some cuts coming out of that over the last couple of days. It looked like a fun conversation, Seth, that the two of them had, Chris Sims and Nick Caserio.
They had a good old time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That Chris. there was. I always enjoy this when Caserio gets up and talks during the draft where – his memory of how picks and trades went down usually isn't as good as our memory is amongst fans, because he's handling calls and trades all the time because they're such active traders that he doesn't really remember the details of how things go down immediately afterwards, especially. So Chris Sims played a guessing game with him where Caserio in the last 3 years has only used three picks that were the team's original picks.
Yes.
Every other pick that they've made has come about through either a single or multiple trades, and that's how the Texans have ended up with it. So Sims just asked him, hey, in the last 3 years, do you remember which three picks were your own?
Before we play this, what was your confidence level that Nick would be able to get all three of these?
I would have said pretty low, because
yeah.
I thought I know we've cited some stat like similar to this, and I knew that one of them was a really tough one to remember.
Yeah, yeah.
So I actually didn't think of the most obvious one first. I thought of the hardest one, so I didn't think he would get it.
All right, here we go.
So it'd be 23, 24, and 25. All right, so Stroud. Okay, I want to say maybe one of the second round picks in 23.
Nope. Right round, but 24. And 24, he had a second 24. Round pick. Right.
Oh, okay. It would have been Kamari, right?
No, 42. I think it's Blake Fisher. Blake Fisher, round
was
two.
The original.
The original.
Kamari pick was the Minnesota pick, and then Blake Fisher was our original pick. So, yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. You can't even keep track of all the damn trades you did.
No,
I know.
I can't. Believe me, Chris, I can't. The last one, I probably would have no idea.
No. And then it's one that I wouldn't have remembered.
Probably like a late round pick or something.
It's round seven, right? It was Marcus Harris. Exactly right. And he's no longer with your team. So, yeah.
All right. Not bad. I'll give it a 1.5 out of 2.
I would have gotten the first two. Oh, I saw this clip on the internet yesterday, Seth, and I was screaming Blake Fisher. Stroud's an easy one. Like you got the yeah. second pick in the draft because you stunk. So you pick Stroud. Obviously they trade up to get Will Anderson. Blake Fisher. I'm like Blake Fisher. The Marcus Harris. I could have been here. Well, I could have been here for 4 days. You know,
he throws so many late round picks in just to even out deals and what have you that it's almost like that pick was just the penny that happened to, you know, be left in the washing machine.
Totally.
It's just random chance that one was untouched. It wasn't like it was some sacred pick that could never be moved.
Great analogy. When I heard it was a seventh round pick, I'm like, that I would have never get, like, because you're right, he uses seventh round picks. Those, he never uses those picks. He just uses them as fodder to go get other picks. You know, that he actually used one and used it used their own pick was wild to me. So good job, Nick. You got one, kind of got the second one. You needed some hints, and we'll absolve you for Marcus Harris.
Just reminds me, I used to have a coin collection as a kid. I got to call my mom. What the hell did Cynthia do with that? How much is that thing worth by now?
Dude, I had boxes and boxes of baseball cards, and I don't know where they are. You know what I mean? Like, and it's...
There's at least some really good ones in there.
Dude, yes. I mean, in the 70s and 80s, I mean, there's a box of cash sitting somewhere. And my dad's three houses removed from the house I grew up in now, so who knows who got those in every move that's been made, you know, and whatnot. Yeah. I just know I don't have them. I could
screw
use
those people. They're bastards.
Yeah,
no, this was, I thought this was interesting because Nick got pretty kind of agitated when asked in one of the post-draft press conferences about drafting for need versus drafting best player available. He gave us a thought out answer. We had ChatGPT ask the question.
Yeah, it was a good
instead
job
of us.
You.
That way he could have get mad at big data, but not you and
That's
I.
That's right.
But this was Chris Sims yet again asked, hey, how do you navigate that drafting best player available versus drafting for need?
Yeah, it's, you have to just figure out how do we get the best players in the building, regardless of position.
Okay.
Now, if you have potentially an opening or opportunity and you have two players that may be graded on an equal plane, then maybe you lean towards one area or the other. But you don't want to rule anybody out because, quote unquote, what you have in the building or what you have on paper, because as we all know, things change in a hurry. So there may not be a, quote unquote, need or an opportunity in its current form, but a few months down the road, maybe things have changed or shifted and you're going to feel like, you know what? Not that you knew that was going to happen, but you've just put yourself in a decent position. And I think you have to understand your team, understand where the contracts, you know, maybe how they're built. But ultimately, the competition is going to sort itself out amongst the players.
See, I like that answer. That's a good answer to that question.
And it is, I think he kind of, something we talked about with him is that notion that need can be a tiebreaker.
Yes.
If you got two guys at the exact same grade and you need this position, you don't need the other one. Okay, that's pretty simple. The biggest thing I've realized is I've spent more time on this than I wanted to, just kind of going around looking at different GMs and whatnot. Mm-hmm. The reason GMs get sensitive about it is because drafting for need, there's a perception or there's a connotation there that you're just constantly overdrafting guys just because you need that. And Nick had said something about when he was with us, you got to be careful about just how much you value need, because if you do it, and what I read from it was, if you do it continually, nobody's smart enough to be consistently smarter than the market or the 31 other NFL teams.
Yep.
If you stretch that often, it's going to come back to bite you. But I think it's also that it's why he trades so much. I think that if he's in a position where there's a really good player and he's the best player available, but it's not a position in need, then if there's a good deal out there, he's probably going to trade
Move
into
back.
A different band
of
players.
Yeah. Now, I just look at their draft this year, and I'm just going to go with the first five guys they took. The four guys they took on day two, plus Woody Marks, who they traded a third from next year's draft to move in and get in the fourth round. There were a lot of ties getting broken on those first five picks. You know what I mean? Like there was, because I feel like all five of those first picks, if you were to have listed the needs for the Texans before the draft, I would have said offensive line for sure. I would have said wide receiver for sure. I would have said another dynamic running back for sure. And I probably would have on defense said depth at corner. You know, they had too many games last year that if Kamari Lassiter missed the game, you're trotting D'Angelo Ross out there. You know, their cornerback depth fell off a cliff. Now, they signed Ronald Darby, and he's a vet, and he's solid enough. but they draft Jalen Smith out of USC. Like, I would submit that all five of those guys they picked were need positions for the Texans.
Right, and I think, again, like it is every single year with Caserio, he moved around a lot to get to some of those spots.
Yes.
And that where if, like, okay, with these guys are available here, if we get to here, that makes sense on our trade value chart. And likewise with trading back from 25, I think they, as he said, there were at least a couple guys that they thought were appropriate there, but they got an offer that made sense and they took the extra draft capital because the Giants quote unquote lost by trade value on that.
Yeah.
But they were perfectly willing to move back up into the first.
Do you like his approach? Do you like his approach to the draft?
Yeah, I like it a lot because this is the prevailing thinking in a lot of circles is, hey, trade back. The more swings at the plate is possible is better. DaCosta, the GM of the Ravens, had a good interview about that. Yeah. That was very much a strategy with Bill Belichick for years. And that was where Chris Sims actually pointed that out and asked Caserio, you know, how is this different from New England and why is it different from New England?
That's how we approach it. I would say here in Houston, we probably have shown more, I would say, ability or just openness to going up and down or sitting versus in New England, I would say a little bit more trade back.
Right.
There's no one size fits all. You have to do what is best for you, what you think makes the most sense.
Yeah. And I think that, like, Nick's very aware of the theory that, hey, as many picks as possible is a smart way to do it.
He mentioned DaCosta in the interview himself.
Right, he actually mentioned DaCosta earlier in the interview. And there's just, I think the way he does it, it's way more aggressive. The danger would be, okay, are you moving around this aggressively because you think you see opportunities that other people don't see? I don't think he looks at it that way. I think it's that he wants to be able to address need, but he doesn't want to do it at a stupid cost.
Yes.
So they try to remain true to their board as much as possible, but he's perfectly willing to move up and down to try to get to those spots to where they can help the team most.
Yep. It was a good conversation. Go out of your way to find it, Caserio and Chris Sims. It was a good interview. Payne and Pendergast with you here on a Friday. Diana Rossini got some what I'm assuming is owner Anon info, Seth, from the Tush Push Summit meeting. Couple days ago, as you pointed out, they had a meeting that had everybody there to talk about it. Then they had a private meeting with just the owners, presumably to keep all the secrets in one room. You know, like that will be an airtight room, the one with the owners. Nope.
Yes.
Diana Rossini's just posting stuff. There's definitely owners that are texting her and whatnot. Good for her.
Yeah, these billionaires who are on, like, medically unethical doses of testosterone replacement, whichever study drug they're using these days, everything else, those will be the guys that won't talk. The guys with just incredibly large egos, and understandably so.
Yes.
Yeah, they're the ones that you can trust them to keep a secret.
Exactly,
sure.
The funniest pieces, not funniest, I think most noteworthy and funny, from Diana Rossini's piece about this, about the Tush Push Summit meeting with the owners. One of the quotes from Jeffrey Lurie, who did a one-hour speech, and I'm not exaggerating, did a one-hour presentation on why the Tush Push should not be banned. He's the owner of the Eagles. Quote, "It's the safest play in the history of the game. Whoever votes to ban this play is taking liability for putting risk on our quarterbacks." End quote. That's a "the blood is on your hands" kind of thing. Right?
There's so much drama
I know.
In the NFL this weekend. We get these guys making these grandiose. Meanwhile, the NFL is claiming that it's a safety hazard, but they leave Alan Mills, chief medical officer, at home, doesn't testify. That's the weirdest and dumbest thing about this entire campaign by the majority of the teams to get rid of the Tush Push are them routinely bringing up how dangerous a play it is with absolutely no evidence to say that it is.
Dude, they make terrible lawyers. Goodell wanted this play out of the game, and this is basically kind of like a courtroom sort of thing almost, where you're trying to convince people, trying to convince a jury in a way. And you don't bring in the star witness. Like Alan Mills would have been the star witness in this thing.
Well, you see, my client suffers from multiple personality disorder. Do you have any witnesses that could testify to that? No, just trust me, bro. Just trust me. Have you seen him? Super weird dude.
Now maybe Alan Mills thinks that it is a safe play. You know, maybe he wasn't going to, you know, do the dance that Goodell wants him to do. That's why he wasn't there. One high ranking.
I don't think that it was that he had a flat tire on the way to the conference.
No, you're probably right. One high ranking league source said, quote, this has to be another owner. Lurie was like a guy trying to convince his girlfriend why she shouldn't leave him, end quote. So he's up there sounding desperate, it sounds like, at least according to this one high ranking source.
According to that high ranking source, I'm guessing is an owner or family of the owner, because family members were allowed in.
Yeah.
They had to pass a DNA test.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering about that. That definitely was somebody that voted for the ban.
Oh, yeah.
I can't see Lurie getting up there and saying, oh, please, baby, please just give me one more chance. I know I just say.
Would you? I'm being serious. If anybody went up there to try to convince me for an hour about this, that would have affected my vote in a negative way. I would have been like,
screw you, bad way. Yeah.
Wasting an hour of my time with this. I'm not even joking.
There's no way it was a concise presentation.
No chance.
There's no way that he got up there. And I don't think it was a 20-minute presentation followed by 40 minutes of questions.
Right.
If it were 20 minutes of presentation followed by 40 minutes of questions, I could excuse that. But I can't excuse a guy just getting up there and rambling for
an hour pontificating. And it had to be that because there were reports of other owners being like, we done yet here? Jed York, like, have you gotten everything done yet here, Jeffrey? Are we good?
The whole thing that what I might really have tried to, if I tried to hit the guilt complex or put a guilt trip on them, I might have to really point out the disparity between this play being banned versus other plays, where with other plays, it's either been a serious safety issue or there have been some tactics and strategies that were considered unsportsmanlike or what have you. Through, you know, the Seahawks and the Patriots back in the day were getting really handsy in the defensive backfield and getting away with it. So they just had to tweak it to be more like the game is supposed to look in the rule book.
Yeah.
This is just 100% a team taking advantage of the current rule book and doing a better job at playing really clean and legal football with it. And it grates against me that you could ban it in a year in which the team that's best at that play won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
There was nothing dodgy about it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that makes me some kind of a hypocrite or if I'm trying to straddle the fence. I just couldn't bring myself to do it this year. If the Eagles are eliminated in the wild card round next year or something and I still don't like it, I'm like, okay, yes. Now at least we're not consciously striking a blow to the best team in the league.
Yeah, I don't think there's any playbook or anything. I think your rationale makes perfect sense to me. You know, like there's no good or bad. I mean, there's bad criteria for sure for voting. Look, mine is I just think it looks stupid. Your reasons are way better than mine.
No. I don't like the play. Yeah. It's just that sequence in the NFC Championship game where they lined up six times to do the tush push.
How long was
it? And through a combination of penalties and not making it, it ended up being 4.5 minutes of the most boring football you can watch.
Unacceptable. Yeah, you can't have that. You can't have that. Bro, did we sign Lance McCullers to like a 20-year deal or something? LOL. No, it was a 5-year deal, started in 2022, and it's next year is the last season of the deal. Look, he's gotten paid a lot of money to rehab his injuries.
He comes out next year and wins the Cy Young.
And gets another 5-year deal. No, and then leaves. Yeah.
I don't know. Lance, honestly, I think Lance, that's the tragic part of it. For the way a lot of Houston fans feel about Lance, where it's just been nothing but bad luck for him with injuries.
Yeah.
That like he was one of the guys originally that seemed gung-ho most into Houston. Got a Houston tattoo. Like he was all about being out in the community and everything.
Yeah.
Even before the Astros had really entered their golden era.
Yes.
That's what stinks about it. There's so many things about him that are exactly what you want out of your professional, if you're a fan of a professional baseball
team.
No
doubt.
He hasn't been able to stay on the field. I do think that there is at least potential that if Lance had an awesome, let's say the next 1.5 years are awesome, that he totally understands the injury risk and he might end up, he might end up taking less to stay in Houston if the organization.
If anybody would it'd be him. Yeah. I don't know if he will, but if anybody would, the way he's talked about Houston, I would think it would be Lance.
But I would also get it if he just wanted to be like, man, I need a fresh start. Maybe, I got to.
Well, he's getting death threats a week ago. Here. You know, it was.
I'm taking my coffee shops elsewhere.
Yeah, that's right. Maven. I'm taking Maven on the road. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. All right. New Hall of Fame, or Hall of Excellence, we'll call it, popping up in Vegas. Would you visit this hall? We'll tell you who's behind it coming up. Now, what would a Hall of Excellence in Houston look like? We'll talk about that coming up next.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
All right, Payne and Pendergast. All right, so Tom Brady and Jim Gray, Seth, you brought this to my attention. They're starting a Hall of Excellence in Las Vegas at the Fontainebleau Hotel.
They're starting, it's a museum, really.
It's a museum, yeah, yeah.
It's there's nothing quite brings in the cheddar these days like a museum.
What?
Museums and public libraries, that's where it's at. You want to make it big in this economy.
I told you, maybe this is my museum, my newfound museum love showing. You know, Amy and I went to the Museum of Natural Science a week or two ago, and I had a great time there on a Saturday afternoon.
No, you can have a good time at a museum. Yeah. I'm curious about it, but most of the really good museums tend to be nonprofits.
Yeah, that's true.
I can't imagine that Tom Brady needs to put out all his trinkets, all the evidence of not just his excellence, but excellence from around the world of sports.
Just excellence.
On display in a, I don't know, a kiosk or a booth in the Fontainebleau Hotel.
Yep. So that's what's happening here. Tom Brady and Jim Gray, who are longtime friends. If you listen to Monday Night Football on Westwood One here on Sports Radio 610, for years there's been that halftime interview that Jim Gray does with Tom Brady on there. When Tom Brady goes on the road to do like his one-man Q&A in front of a big group of corporate people, it's Jim Gray who's the sort of the moderator of the whole thing. they're kind of attached at the hip, and they're definitely attached at the hip on this project. It's going to become a reality next month as Brady, Gray, and Gray's wife, Fran, have teamed up with several helping hands to open the Hall of Excellence Museum coming up on June 20th at the Fontainebleau Las Vegas Hotel. The museum will highlight nearly 300 pieces of memorabilia coming from the closets of Brady and the Grays, including all 7 of Brady's Super Bowl rings are going to be on display there, as well as items from global sports stars and celebrities. There's some quotes in here from both guys. Here's a sampling, a smattering, Seth, of what's going to be in here. Michael Jordan's first pair of Air Jordans from 1984 and his first NBA championship shoes from 1991. That's pretty good. There's a whole movie made.
No, and honestly,
these.
All those Super Bowl rings.
Yeah.
Before we even go on any further, this is going to be a security nightmare.
Yes.
Not because you have to fear the high-end burglars, but the number of drunk people in Las Vegas that are on God knows what else, as they're testing their own personal bounds of reality the way that the Magnus and Gladstone would.
Yes.
There's gonna be people trying to swipe this stuff. Yeah. I need some hardcore security.
No, there's no doubt. The 7 Super Bowl rings alone, I'm envisioning is like 10 guys standing around this glass case where the glass is a foot thick to keep people you're talking about. The way this is phrased is interesting. A bat used by Jackie Robinson to break baseball's color barrier. That makes it sound like he took, like, the color barrier is this like tangible noun, and he took a bat to it and just started breaking it.
Yeah, and he bashed it in.
Started bashing the color barrier in.
That's vaguely worded. I already don't trust this museum. Like, all right, so he used that to break the color barrier, but that could have been at any point over the course of really several seasons.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I want to see the bat, the first bat, or just tell me when it was used.
And maybe that's what it is, and as you said, it's poorly worded. Muhammad Ali's worn gloves from his bout versus George Chuvalo in 1966.
Oh, those are the ones that I've wanted.
Yeah,
a lot of people will be like, hey, Frazier, right?
Talking about Clay v. Chuvalo for years now, yes. Dream Team jersey and opening ceremony uniform. They don't specify whose Dream Team jersey it is. Mm-hmm. Clint Eastwood's Academy Award for Unforgiven from 1993. Okay, so they're branching
just
out.
Just a hodgepodge of stuff
this is some random stuff, man.
Golf balls and baseballs signed by U.S. presidents dating back to Woodrow Wilson.
Wow, yeah, I'm looking at that. Oprah Winfrey's Presidential Medal of Freedom and Tony Award for The Color Purple in 2016.
It sounds like an estate sale. More than like, it's like, there's just this smattering of really cool stuff, but it's all over the place. Do you have any garden hose that are in good shape? I'll take that too.
Dresses worn by Billie Jean King and Serena Williams during Wimbledon championships.
Okay.
1974 and 2009.
This is going to be, I advise against this. This sounds
It's done.
Dumb.
They're doing it. I know.
And I know you want to go see it and everything. Yeah. I'm just trying to, there's no way that this is viable unless they're using it to create, you know, contact lists, people, the potential customers for something else. All right. The Fontainebleau isn't a super exclusive or pricey hotel.
It's nice.
Right?
It's
nice, but it's not like the Plaza or something like that.
No. Yeah. I'm not sure. The draft was checked yesterday.
I could get rooms for like 200 and below.
Okay.
So it wasn't out of the universe.
Yeah, it's not. Well, I don't want to name some of the really bad ones on the strip.
Yeah.
It's not one of those, but it's probably an in between. Yeah.
I'm guessing the real lure, if you're going to try to make money at this, and the fact that you're putting it in a hotel on the strip, that's some pricey real estate.
Yes.
Your rent's very, very high there. I think it's that they want to get your email address and your social media more so than anything
else. Just a really extravagant way to build a mailing list?
It is. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I would go to this, but you know me. Hall of Excellence will be a self-guided tour, all narrated. They picked the perfect guy to narrate. It's a narrated, I'm guessing you have the app or you Bluetooth your AirPods in and you're
this
listening.
This is how I know it's going to fail.
Morgan Freeman is the voice of this thing.
Do you know how much that must cost? Honestly, I need to see the business plan on this. I am fascinated by what the end goal is for this.
What you're looking at right now.
Morgan Freeman, That's got to cost. I bet it's $1 million to get him to voice something.
To voice a tour of a museum? Hell yeah. It's probably $1 million to get him to do those 30-second commercials that he does sometimes.
It's just because his voice is so iconic.
It's so distinct. Yeah, yeah.
This is the same thing Brady did with his podcast company. They started a podcast company,
yeah.
Which, cool. You know who else can do that with like $17? Anybody alive.
Yeah.
But they started this podcast company, and they had 12 full-time producers working for this podcast company.
Yeah.
Like, it is a medium that the most successful podcasters are still guys like Joe Rogan, where it's him, his producer buddy there, and his guest.
Yeah.
With like a plain backdrop.
That's it.
You don't need multiple full-time producers, and they folded within a year.
Hey, man,
he's going in too hard and too fast.
Brady
on these
spares
things.
No cost. I ain't complaining.
He's
gonna
be broke within the decade, Sean.
Dude,
I know it.
I can't wait. I can't wait. This is why Brady's still working. Hey, gotta pay the bills, man. Hey, Morgan.
10 years from now, you're gonna walk into the Hall of Excellence, and it's gonna be Tom Brady standing there, crooked-eyed with an apron on, because he was also just fixing the plumbing in the back before you walked in. He wipes his hands off. What can
employees.
I do you for? What can I do you for, fella?
Employees. Yeah. Yeah. Couldn't renew Morgan Freeman, so they got some squeaky kid doing the thing. Oh, here's the
Gilbert
dream team.
Gottfried.
This is a dream team jersey.
Billie Jean King. Uh-oh. I'm about to get canceled.
Mahomes. He gets Mahomes to do it. Hey, this is a dream team jersey right here. This is a jersey where Charles Barkley punched that Angola guy right in the face. Punched him right in the face. It was really cool. Yeah. Morgan Freeman alone is enough to get me to this museum. I'm curious, what would the listeners put in a Houston Hall of Excellence? What would the
items not the
be?
Actual Houston Hall of Fame, but
no,
the Hall of Excellence.
No, it's a museum. It's the Houston Hall of Fame. It's not even a brick and mortar thing. It's just people getting honored. If there were a Houston Hall of Excellence, like a museum like this, what would the items be in there?
The first thing that popped into my brain was Yordan's orange seat. That's a kind of cool thing.
Yes.
From a Houston perspective.
Yes.
The orange seat from that upper deck home run that he hit out in right field forever ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every MRI done on Yordan's right hand. In a work of art, almost looking like the Hollywood Squares, just 9 of them up there, just 9 x-rays of his hand.
The ball that broke Kyle Tucker's leg.
Yeah. We were there for that.
We were.
Witness.
And I told you.
Yeah.
I said he'll play tomorrow.
He tried to play that night. He tried to get back in the batter's box. They wouldn't let him. He just
that's
had to
what
drag
made me
him
feel
back.
Like, oh, he might have something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a weird situation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't like as I'm thinking of this, like Hall of Excellence. Well, maybe this is excellence because as you've pointed out, it's the being better than everybody else scandal. But I want, you know what I want? I want almost like a life-size diorama of the room that had the monitor in it that A.J. Hinch took a bat to.
As he's taking a bat to
yeah,
the
like
monitor.
Yeah, like a wax museum thing of A.J. Hinch with a gigantic bat and a half-mutilated monitor on the desk right there. Like angry A.J. Hinch. And maybe even not in a wax museum. Maybe make it a robot where he's like, you know, smashing the monitor and not telling the guys to stop doing it. That was his passive, semi-aggressive.
You know what you're asking for more so
what?
Is that you want a wax museum of great
do.
Moments in sports
I
history.
Like wax museums.
I would have I would have J.R. Richard holding the 5 baseballs or however many baseballs he holds in his hand. Yeah.
That was an iconic picture, man. Yeah. Send them in 713-572-4610. This is our Hall of Excellence done via wax museum.
Our estate sale slash garage sale slash
Seth,
whatever the hell this Hall of Excellence is.
When you and I start this up, we are going to get so many email addresses out of this thing.
I know.
Our mailing list is going
to
be so good.
We're going to be able to market our private label products to a specific group of people so well. God. Damn
it's
it.
It's going to be amazing. It's going to be so good. All right. Speaking of the Astros. The Athletic lays out which teams are really, quote, trying in baseball based on payroll and performance. Some of you who text complaining about Jim Crane's spending, we're going to learn you a little something in this next segment here, all right? We're going to do that and keep texting. Please text in entries to the Payne and Pendergast Houston Hall of Fame or Hall of Excellence via Wax Museum. All of that coming up next.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
We do get texts from people from time to time about Jim Crane's spending. And when they trade Kyle Tucker, the Astros, and when they let Alex Bregman walk, I think there's people under the misconception that the Astros are cheap. They're not going to spend. You need to spend. They spend. It's just in the last couple of years, they've made some poor decisions. And quite frankly, the market for Alex Bregman got to be $40 million a year with the Red Sox specifically there. And Kyle Tucker wants a 10-year deal, and Jim Crane doesn't swim in that pool and whatever. The Athletic has a very interesting article, Seth, that puts the Major League Baseball teams into basically four groups using a graph. And I know this is an audio format and we can't show the graph to people, but just to simplify this, the vertical axis is how much winning you've done in the last four seasons. The horizontal axis is how much you've been spending on average the last four seasons. Thus, to help with the visual here, you can imagine the Dodgers are the green dot that is way out in the upper right quadrant of this thing. They spend a ton, they win a ton. And there is the graph is kind of grouped into four clusters of teams that you can sort of categorize. And the ones that are in the right quadrant, the upper right quadrant, the ones that spend, relatively speaking, a lot of money and win, relatively speaking, a lot of baseball games, there's only seven teams in that little cluster right there. And the Astros are one of them. The Astros have been doing a lot of winning the last 4 years. And this doesn't include the 5 years before that when they were going to the World Series and won a World Series. Dodgers, Mets, Yankees, you could have predicted those. Phillies, Braves, Padres, Astros are the seven teams.
Right. So those are, and it's interesting that there's this big clump of teams that, hey, lo and behold, the teams that have spent the most money have also been the most competitive. No huge surprise there given the way that baseball works.
Yeah.
But of those first three teams, the Dodgers, the Mets, and the Yankees, their revenue is so much more than every other market and every other team, or just about every other team,
yep.
that it's like you're not fighting in that same weight class.
Mm-mm.
I think the thing that really sticks out is, okay, of the successful teams that are in more normal sized markets or more have normal TV deals, Houston's right there in the thick of how much those teams are spending.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Crane has made himself uncomfortable in a good way with, like, he's stretched and pushed the boundaries to try to put a competitive team out there compared to just where his revenue is
yeah.
and other teams that same size.
I look at this. There's the powerhouses in the upper right quadrant. There's a group off to the left that have been winning at a decent level but spend in the bottom half of the league, teams like Milwaukee, Seattle, Baltimore, Tampa Bay, Cleveland, all teams that have made the playoffs recently, but they spend way less than even the Astros do. The Astros spend the least out of all those powerhouse teams. The thing as an Astros fan that I guess I'm most concerned about when I look at this visually, there's this clump of teams that spend a decent amount, a lot of them, but they don't do a whole lot of winning. Like, half of them are barely above 500, half of them are barely below 500. Just to contextualize, teams like Toronto and Boston and the Cubs and the Giants and the Cardinals, the Rangers, like they all spend kind of near what the Astros do. They just haven't won as much as the Astros have over these last four seasons. My concern is, okay, how close are we getting here to being at the high spending end of what they call the middle class here, the reluctant yeah. middle class? Like, because the Astros are spending about the same over the last 4 years as Boston and Toronto and the Rangers, slightly more than teams like the Cubs and the Giants. They've just been winning more. But how dangerously close are we to spending that amount but slipping back into this, you know, closer to 500 group right now?
I don't know. I think that I don't think there's another reset year in the Astros' future. I do think that if you didn't have all this dead money laying around on all of these various players who are no longer on the team or no longer healthy, Crane's got it in him for the big push
yeah.
when he sees fit. So I think if they do get into that middle area, I think it's relatively short-lived until they feel like they can make some aggressive moves.
It's a good point on the money, because they're going to get money freed up next year. There's going to be no Jose Abreu on the payroll next year. Presumably, you know, hopefully Lance McCullers is back to actually pitching a workload that's worth the $17 million they're going to be paying him. And the one saving grace, Seth, real quick, about the injuries this year so far, Wisniewski and Blanco, one is going to Tommy John, the other one appears to be headed in that direction possibly. They're still very cheap players. You're not paying either yeah. of them $15 or $20 million a year to rehab a Tommy John surgery, you know?
The fun thing about this one graph is that there's four main groups: the powerhouses, the middle, the basement, and the overachievers.
Yeah.
And then off on their own little island, like they're Hawaii or something,
so
the angels.
They're like Hawaii.
Angels who have spent a pretty respectable chunk of money and have nothing
Hawaii.
To show for it.
They are
That's their category, the angels.
They're just the angels. They're the outlier. Over the last 4 years, they've spent less than the Astros, according to this chart, over the last
yeah,
4 years.
Yeah.
But they're still over $200 million in payroll, and their winning percentage is somewhere, it's about 425, somewhere, you know, just visually, that's where it appears to be on this graph. Yeah, they're their own thing, man. And
spend a lot of money and not do anything with it.
Mike, they had Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani on the roster at the same time. They couldn't help the injuries with Trout. That's not their fault. But think about when they signed Ohtani, what the mm-hmm. thought was. Can you imagine if you had the Mike Trout from his first 10 years on the same team as Shohei Ohtani of the last 3 or 4 years on
yeah.
the same team? Like full season, you know, like full.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
They've won a hypothetical three-peat World Series.
It would be
that team did.
It would be worth going to the ballpark. Like right now, it's not worth buying a ticket to go see the Angels, you know, but that is the funniest part of this graph for sure. But we bring this up just to say, hey, man, like, Jim Crane spends. You know, like, he's in that upper echelon of spending.
Does he have Hall of Excellence money? Would he be able to afford admission into Tom Brady and Jim Gray's new Hall of Excellence Hotel Fontainebleau?
Does he get into – he may not get in there, but he for sure would be in the Payne and Pendergast Wax Museum Hall of Excellence, and it'd be a wax museum robot of Crane just,
yeah.
like, sweeping money off his fingers like that and giving a big mm-hmm. middle finger to everybody.
Making it rain,
yep. If you missed it, previous segment, Seth and I were talking. Tom Brady and Jim Gray are starting a Hall of Excellence Museum in Vegas. So we asked you guys what would be in the Hall of Excellence for a Houston Hall of Excellence. Paul Wall's first grill That's true. We got to cross over because Brady and Gray, if we're going to compete with them, Seth, we got to cross over into pop culture too. It can't just be sports.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. That's okay. So if we go all of you, then you got to bring in, you know, you got to wax Styrofoam cup at some point. You got
Apollo 13 stuff. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, big old space shuttle in your Hall of Excellence. Can you fit that in the Hotel Fontainebleau? Sorry, Vegas, you're not big enough.
Where will ours be? Are we putting it in the Post Oak Hotel over there?
We're going to put it in the Texans' new headquarters.
Oh, they may roam. It's a great idea.
I want a life-size replica of Judge Hofheinz's apartment in the Astrodome.
Yes.
I want to know what that swinging 70s bachelor pad. Well, it wasn't a bachelor pad, but it was a swinging pad nonetheless.
The decor, the shit. What happened on that shag carpet?
I bet it was this.
And that carpet
cheesiest decor pot. I bet that bright orange shag carpet.
Carpet was nasty, I bet, man. Oh, yeah. Only not anything with Judge Hofheinz, because every shag carpet in the 70s was nasty. Everybody's was. A wax museum structure of Andre Johnson swinging on Courtland Finnegan.
Yeah, that would be good, too.
That would be a great one. That would be a great... let's see here. Andre Johnson beating some ass. Oh, Janet Jackson's... wardrobe malfunction at the
Nipplegate,
Houston Super Bowl. That happened here. Yeah, that happened here. Someone says, Sean, have you gone to the Gangster Museum in Vegas? I'm huge into that underworld stuff and want to go to that. That's from Axe. I have. It's awesome.
Oh, okay. You know what? I'm glad he brought that up, because I was saying, like, hey, what are you going to make money with the museum? And then lo and behold, that Gangster Museum's been in Vegas.
It's really good.
Now, is that at a really expensive spot, the way the Hotel Fontainebleau is?
No, it's its own structure near downtown. Yeah. It's not even on the Strip. So it's downtown, and I think it's actually built around an old courtroom. So it was the courtroom where they actually had some of the hearings back in the day
about
the mob activity. Yeah, yeah. If you go to Vegas and you're into that, if you're into the gangster stuff, go to the Mob Museum. It's excellent. It's really, really good. David Robinson's jock from when Hakeem took it from him after Robinson got the MVP trophy back in the 1995 Western Conference Finals.
Yes.
He didn't literally take his jock. He just, you know, made David Robinson put a metaphorical jock on the floor with all his ball fakes. Any Earl Campbell ripped up game jersey goes in that
Hall of
Excellence.
Oh, that would be a cool wax figure.
Yeah.
Him running away from his tearaway jersey.
Yeah.
Yes.
Someone said they need Lou Holtz to do the audio for the Hall of Excellence in Vegas. Hey, listen, let me tell you something right now. When Charles Barkley was wearing this jersey, I fell for that Angola guy right now. Charles Barkley's about a love, a trust, and a commitment, but you don't piss him off if you're a skinny Angolan. You're going to get it upside your head.
I was thinking about the tearaway jersey as far as rule changes go. When it feels this year, it would have felt like they were specifically punishing the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yes.
More so than anything else. The tearaway jersey... And that being, I think that was league wide. It felt like Earl Campbell just had more highlight moments of it because he was so capable of outrunning the strength of his fabric.
Yes.
And so there were more highlights with him, but I doubt they banned that in 1979.
Yeah.
Which would have been right after Campbell came in and just took the league by storm.
Yeah. No, right? I mean, yeah, it's Earl Campbell was drafted in 1978. So yes, it was probably those Earl Campbell highlights. Like, all right, we can't use these anymore. Earl Campbell's running into the end zone with just shoulder pads on.
They banned it in 79. He had 1,697 yards in 1979. So it wasn't, he did better in his second year without the tearaway jersey.
There you go.
And then in 1980, he had his career high 1,934
such
yards.
Such a beast. Someone wants Charlie Casserly to be the voice of the Houston Museum.
Good, yes.
Here you go. See, here's Andre Johnson. See, he's punching the hell out of Courtland Finnegan. See, yep. Aroldis Chapman's face in the Houston Hall of Excellence. Yes, the home run, game six home run. Aroldis Chapman face.
That we little smile.
Yeah, yeah. Like, oh, he just got me. He just got me, that little fella. All right, just keep sending him in. We'll read him throughout the 9 o'clock hour. It's a Friday. It's a getaway weekend. A Friday. Holiday weekend here on Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. All right, 9 o'clock Fridays, take a mania. The list of challengers this week, not as long as normal, but we got some good ones in here. The champ, Andrew Perloff, does he get knocked off his perch in take a mania? Our weekly segment of the bad takes of the week. We'll do that coming up next.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.